This is Beyond the Headlines on KUNR. I'm David Stipik. And a few weeks ago, we had a visit with Chris Askin, president and CEO of the Community Foundation of Western Nevada. We are talking about the estate planning series, the financial planning series that we're part of that is ongoing. Just wanted to follow up on that conversation with Chris. Again, welcome to the studio here at KUNR.
Thank you, David.
Today, we're talking a little bit more, not specifically about a program like the financial planning series that we talked about a couple weeks ago, but this just about the work that the Community Foundation of Western Nevada does and what that means to our community. And I want to open the mic to you here a little bit. We were just talking that you've been president and CEO, mm-hmm. or you've been with the foundation for 15 years. Tell me a little bit, for those who are not familiar with the Community Foundation of Western Nevada, what do you do?
Well, Community Foundation of Western Nevada helps people who care with causes that matter. But we do more than that. And I hope that you listeners have heard of us. But I'm afraid most of you have not. And our new work may change that. The Community Foundation is now, and for the last year, been working to tackle some of the issues in our community that we've all been working on for some time, but just haven't improved. And our most recent project has been to focus on the homeless and struggling youth ages 12 to 24.
And we're going to talk about a specific part of that at the moment. But people basically give through the foundation. How's this work? If people are trying to give, in fact, KUNR receives some funds through the foundation, but a lot of people give, and then you make sure that you match that up with their intent, their needs. Tell me about how that works.
Well, you know, you would think, why would I give through the Community Foundation to benefit another organization? But there are many reasons. Let's talk about the first one, which would be timing. Supposing that you're selling a business, you're selling a rental home, this year you're going to have a big tax hit. It's to your advantage to perhaps make a larger gift this year. Maybe you have an appreciated asset that you're going to use, but you're not sure which charities are going to receive that yet. You're not quite sure how you're going to distribute that. Well, you can still make your gift this year, and you can still take advantage of all of those tax savings that you're going to have. And then in the next year or two or five, you can work with the Community Foundation to distribute those funds to the charities that you care about. And in the meantime, they may even grow through our investments.
And how is the Community Foundation then funded, with your staff, or how does that work?
We have a fee, and the fee is anywhere between 0.5% and 1.5%, depending upon the size of the assets that any person or family has with us. And that covers about 70% of our costs, and the rest is covered by contributions to the foundation to support our work.
Is there a nonprofit community foundation?
And it's interesting. Many of the gifts that we'll receive are through people's estates. You know, there's a lot of people who'd like to give more during their life. They really care about charities, are involved with their charities. But they're only able to make that significant gift. And let's say a donor who gives $100 a year to KUNR, but through their estate, they could make a gift perhaps of $5,000 by designating you. And the Community Foundation can help make those bequests happen as well.
And again, besides things like the financial and estate planning series that is ongoing, that comes up a couple of times a year, that we talked about recently, there's a number of things that you do directly besides just managing those funds. Talk about now, let's turn to this whole youth program. You showed me something on your iPhone here that was really fascinating.
Sure. I'm very excited to talk about this. Earlier this year, we convened community stakeholders who care about youth. Well, it's not just the organizations that provide services for those youth and the school district. It's anybody who'd like to see those youth who, and you could define it in this way, they don't have families that provide the support that those youth need. And we all feel for those youth, and we'd all like to help them. And there are, unfortunately, many, many youth in this situation. So we went to the youth first. We thought, well, rather than us adults talking about what these youth need, we better ask them. And so we convened a couple of large community meetings. Altogether, we had about 300 people attending and 90 youth. And frankly, having the youth in the room was different than what had happened before. And us adults, well, we listened. And we heard what they really needed. And one of the areas that was lacking was just the knowledge of the organizations in town who have services for youth. So that led us to our first project, which was setting up renoyouthnetwork.com. So easy to look up, renoyouthnetwork.com, and on there you'll find a search directory that youth can use, that anybody could use. Case managers at Washoe County are using that, and with the school district, to find the appropriate support that these youth need, much of which, and I should say most of which, already exists but was difficult to find.
So you've put together a database, basically, that's a very slick, easy-to-use website and a kind of an app on an iPhone or Android as well?
Yes, it was designed to work on your phone. So if you look up renoyouthnetwork.com on your phone and then you just set it up as on your home screen, you'll see a cute little icon, and that way you'll always have that handy if you or a friend or somebody needs some support.
And you showed me that has a map, certain hours, certain food banks are open, because there's a lot of things happening, as you've said, that are already in place. You're not necessarily creating new services, but you are providing a roadmap and a way to find out where those services are, what time, how to get there, if you need to walk, take the bus, that type of thing.
Right. It's not as easy as you'd think. Even if you know where the service is, what if it's Saturday morning and you're a youth and you find yourself booted from the home because you did something or you're pregnant or something has happened to where you're just kicked out? Well, most of these are open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. So you need to know where you can go right then. You also need to know if there are any barriers. You know, is it distant? Do you have to contact them first so they'll let you in? Some of these services for youth actually even don't have publicly known locations if they're working with youth who've been battered or seeking shelter. So the network that we set up provides all of this information.
And you're listening to Beyond the Headlines on KUNR. David Stipik, our guest in the studio today, Chris Askin, President and CEO of the Community Foundation of Western Nevada, talking about some of the services and work that the Community Foundation does in our community right now, specifically about youth. Tell me, how big is this problem in our area? It sounds like you're meeting a need here.
Under 18, Washoe County tracks about 2,300 a year who are in need of support at some point during the year. And of course, most of them aren't homeless all year. Now, moving up the scale, we have 60 youth a year who age out of foster care. They turn 18 and they're out of the system. And so those youth need special assistance as well. And there's actually quite a few programs for them. And because they're in foster care, they have a better connection to those programs. They have case managers who will help them. Interestingly to me, we learned that there's about 200 youth who are released from juvenile detention every year who don't have a support system to return to. So these are youth who are really in danger of not finishing school, not getting a job, not basically being taken care of with all of the things that we provide to our kids. And then once you move up the scale, how many youth turn 18 and or graduate high school and parents say, "Congratulations, you're on your own." And so we consider the need to continue up to about age 24.
And that's for housing, that's for food, that's for financial assistance at some point to maintain.
It's advice about how to get a checking account rather than using a dollar loan type center.
Okay.
Or learning how to interview for a job. I mean, there's just lots of skills that need to be learned.
And you mentioned earlier mentoring. That's also a big need.
Yeah, mentoring is something that the youth had expressed a real desire for increased support. They just felt that there were not enough people, adults who could help them. And it's interesting, there are programs, and some of these are group programs, but in a one-on-one relationship, once you've established trust and respect with one of these youth, then they will start opening up and talking with you about the things that they really need to know, and you can really start providing support. So this is our latest and greatest. Now that the online searchable database is set up and working well, we're doing online interviews or on the street interviews with youth. We're talking about exactly what they're looking for in a mentor. And we've discovered that we have a huge shortage of mentors in this community, not just mentor programs, but mentors even volunteering for existing programs.
All right. So the listeners now have heard that there's this need in our community for mentors. What can listeners do if they want, hey, I'd love to be a mentor. I'd love to do something. Do they contact you or do they contact another service in town? What do they do?
Best to contact us. Of course, you could call some of the larger providers in town like Children's Cabinet, but we're thrilled to receive calls. One of the things that we had found is that for people who do want to make contributions to support youth, when those donors understand how the money can actually be used to really help, pocketbooks open up. People are much more interested.
Something tangible.
Right. So if you'd like to make a gift to support youth, it doesn't need to come to the Community Foundation. We can help let you know the organizations that are doing work out there that are really making a difference that could use your support.
And give directly even without coming through you guys.
Absolutely.
All right, that number again?
333-5499.
And again, you can find out more information at nevadafund.org. Talking again today with Chris Askin, President and CEO of the Community Foundation of Western Nevada. Chris, thanks for coming by and visiting again about all the great work you're doing, and congratulations on 15 years with the foundation and
the impact
you've had here at in our local community. Thanks.
Oh, my pleasure.
And this is David Stipik. It's Beyond the Headlines on KUNR.